And now, live from the Daniel Scappin Studio, deep in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, it's Mike Malloy.
All right, enough music. Thank you, Scott Van Dusen. Hi, everybody. Mike Malloy here. It is the 18th of June. Thursday is the summer solstice, and it also ends, midnight Wednesday ends the Malloy fundraiser for the spring. I hope you have or will participate in it. You can make a straight donation. You can contribute money at the website, or you can sponsor an hour. sponsorship for an hour costs $50. Normally it's $100, but during this spring fundraiser it's $50. And I'm hoping that I can talk the business end of our little business here to extend it a bit, because I have to tell you, the sponsorships have been kind of slow. No, they haven't been kind of slow. They've been at a snail's pace. I appreciate everybody who has sponsored at $50 for the whole show. But we probably are going to have to extend it, okay? So just want to let you know. We have a couple sponsors tonight. I'll get to them momentarily. Also, a moment with Bob, which will probably come up later this first hour, I'm hoping. Although we might do it second hour. Who knows? He was at it again today, Trump, trying to rationalize and justify what he and the goblin, Jefferson Beauregard the Sessions III, what they are perpetrating on the most innocent of innocent people. And those are kids who are brought to our southern border by parents or aunts and uncles, grandparents, but they're brought by family members, the hope being that the entire family, in seeking asylum, these are refugees, these are not illegal immigrants. I hate that term. These are people who are coming primarily at this point from Central America, who have been forced to leave their countries because of the fascism, poverty, and violence that is are three byproducts of United States intervention in the 1980s, most recently. But the intervention in Central America goes all the way back to Teddy Roosevelt. When we've sent the Marines a couple of times into Central American countries, whether it's been Nicaragua or the Dominican Republic or Guatemala. We've overthrown governments. We've murdered people. We've paid to have people murdered. We have destroyed families and businesses in Central America. And now, in an enormous part, a large part of Central America, there is chaos, gang warfare, murder, mayhem. Some of these Central American countries are approaching non-state status, because they cannot control the interiors of their countries, the crime, the criminal element. I don't want to paint the picture too bleak, because there are a lot of countries, there are a lot of cities in Central America where, okay, not a lot. There are a number of cities in Central America where this is not necessarily happening. But the people who are showing up on our southern border are people who are desperate to get away from all this. And I truly, deeply, honestly believe that the United States has an ethical, a moral, a legal obligation to take people in who are fleeing from the countries that we have so fucked over and destabilized over the past 120 years that it's difficult for anyone to live there. Unless they're willing to live in a state of poverty, medical desperation, low education, authoritarian fascist governments, a number of whom are there either as a direct result of U.S. intervention or as a descendant result of U.S. intervention over the decades. So here we are. And of course, the country right now is being led by Christians who fucking hate their own Messiah. They hate their holy book. They hate everything. They hate women. They hate the people of color. They hate people of gender that they can't fucking figure out. They're haters. And the people suffering right now are children and parents who show up at that southern border after having taken a journey like most people seeking asylum or political refugees take, a journey that is extremely dangerous, that has a high percentage of the people fleeing their countries die en route, whether they're trying to cross the Mediterranean or other bodies of water somewhere there in the Middle East, where people are fleeing African governments that are as bad as the government in the United States, as bad as governments in Central America. So we have the same situation here. And in so many instances, by the way, the cause of the increasing number, I guess it's diminished a bit now, but the number of refugees that flooded out of sub-Saharan Africa and the Middle East all the way over to Central Asia, to Pakistan, those refugees were fleeing as a result of the policies, political policies put into place by the colonial powers, whether it was England, France, Germany, Holland, Spain, Portugal. So once again, we have example of a tremendous refugee flow as a direct or indirect result of the policies forced on these people by, in the case of the Middle East, Europeans, in the case of Central America and Mexico, North Americans. Pretty goddamn shameful, isn't it? The part that's shameful is that this is being perpetrated in almost every instance by white people against people who are not Caucasian. In the middle of all this, we have so-called Christian leadership in this country. Trump's not a Christian, but he plays one on television so as he can suck in these ignorant savages who claim to be evangelical Christians come the next election, because they realize they're never again going to have an empty-headed fool like Trump being manipulated by a devious Machiavellian so-called Christian named Mike Pence. So they're supporting him in order to get the Christian shit done that they know cannot be done by any president of the United States who has respect for the U.S. Constitution. Trump doesn't. Trump doesn't know what the fucking Constitution is. He has no idea. He might think it's something that Lincoln wrote to free the slaves in Cuba. I mean, he has no goddamn idea about anything. We all know this. The Christian manipulators, though, oh boy, do they know it. And Trump, it's amazing to me. He's a useful idiot to Putin. He's a useful idiot to Kim Jong-un. He's a useful idiot to the Caucasian Christian evangelicals in this country. All three of those groups that claim him as their useful idiot are insidious, evil sons of bitches who either will win Putin in Asia, Central Asia, Kim in Southeast Asia, Trump in North America. That's pretty frightening. Xi in China has already won. He has now been declared, I guess is the right word, by the Chinese Politburo to be president for life, more or less. Where was I? So we've created this situation, the Christian leadership of this country, the moral leadership of this country, the ethical leadership of this country, and I don't give a fuck about this line that somehow someone fed to Trump so he could say it over and over. Without borders, you don't have a country. You know, Jesus led a movement that was to dissolve borders. He didn't say that he was the Messiah of the people in Syria, as opposed to the people in Italy, as opposed to the people in Turkey. He didn't say that. He was the Messiah to everybody. But forget that. Forget that. Forget that. Christianity has become just a prostituted mess of garbage and lies and deception. And it's a shame because the Christians, I realize some of them who haven't gotten the memo yet that they're all fucked up, some of them will probably make an effort of some sort to rescue these children. But the Christian leadership, the Christian political leadership of this country will do nothing of the sort. So today, Trump continued his bullshit in the face of growing public concern and outcry over what his administration is doing. You know, ripping children. Yes, ripping. Yes, fucking ripping children from their parents at our southern border and putting them in detention, the children, little kids, sub-teens, teenagers. I've got grandchildren who are being of the same age as the kids who are being ripped away from their mothers. I have a 13-year-old daughter who is the same age of some of these young teenagers being ripped away from their parents. And I just have to tell you, it raises in me a murderous, and I mean that, a murderous hatred for the people who are doing this. If these totalitarians want to fuck with adults, bring it on. But kids, the most innocent of the innocent, refugee kids, children who go where mommy and daddy take them. You don't have a 7-year-old say, no, I'm not going. Not unless you're some fucked up white family in this country who are being manipulated by your own children. But that doesn't happen in some of the cultures. And this one, where kids are in danger and the parents are saying, you're coming with us now. And the kids go along. They have nothing to say about it. They have no dissenting opinion that'll be heard because the parents understand, if I don't get my children out of here, they may die. I may die. So they come to the worst fucking place they could come to, Trump's America. And once they get to the southern border of the worst fucking place they could come to, Trump's America responds by taking children from parents. Is there a more painful thing to do to people than to take their children away from them and disappear them? Is there a more painful thing for children? Now, children are very resilient, aren't they? Much more so than adults, aren't they? But how resilient do you have to be in order to see your mom or your dad hauled away and you're turned over to Anglo white-skinned people? And not all of them are. Some of them are Latino. I don't know why they're working the Trump side of the fence, but they are. There were Vichy French, too. But they turn them over to people who these kids have never seen before. It's hard for me to talk about it, so let me just get into what I was going to say. This was in the New York Times this afternoon. Trump is out there lying his fucking ass off with that dirty, filthy Christian Mike Pence standing behind him with that beatific look, like he just – either he just gave Trump a blowjob or Trump gave him one. I'm not sure. But that kind of Stepford wife smile, half smile on Pence's face is just fucking my brain. I've never seen anything like that. I've never seen any political couple – where one of them, and unless it's a wife who just found out that her senatorial husband has been boinking the interns, then she'll put that brain dead look on her face like, oh, fuck, get me out of this. But there's Trump. I'm sorry. There's Pence with that expression, but with a kind of a half smile. I'm looking at the Messiah's back of his head. That's why Democrats better be careful what they ask for when they're talking about impeaching Trump. I'm beginning to realize that's not the way to go. The way to go is to pack the legislature with Democrats so that this filthy son of a bitch can not do any more damage than what he's done already. But I digress. Trump also, because he is a pathological liar, has been all his life, will be up until the day this bloated fuck draws in his last breath. He is a liar. And he lied again today, saying that this is the Democrats' fault, that they passed some law. There is no law. It's been said over and fucking over again. But Trump exists in some sewer world where reality just is not there. He doesn't even have – he hasn't even constructed a reality. I mean, he's just kind of there. And I don't know about the ghouls on Fox, but are they telling him that the Democrats passed some law that says take children away from their parents? Here's the irony. Both George Bush and Barack Obama refused to go that step, separating children from parents, where it concerned arresting people and detaining people who were seeking asylum. As evil as that action was from Bush and Obama, neither one of them would agree to the idea of taking the children away for the obvious fucking reasons. Trump, let me put it this way, George Bush and Barack Obama were fathers. Trump isn't. Trump is no more of a father than any fucking gangster who raises his children in a mafia family. That is not a father. So Trump has no idea, and since he has no idea about being a father, he has no way to relate to the idea of a parent being separated from his or her children. So not only is he an ignorant son of a bitch, but no matter how many times people tell him, people who do understand the feelings of having your child taken away, no matter how many times those people tell him that this is not the way to go, and now they're starting to use the word evil. I'm glad to see that finally happening. I've been using it. I don't know why the fuck in every editorial writer, every reporter, every politician doesn't label it for what it is. When you cause unbelievable pain to a child and the child's parent because you're snatching the child away, that is fucking evil. So any of these Christians who claim to be Christians are lying sons of bitches because they are practicing evil and their own Messiah told them not to do this. Oh, there I go again. Okay. Further, this ignorant, savage Trump, not only does he tell his lies endlessly that the Democrats passed some fucking law sometime that said take the kids away from the adults, but he also lies and says that it's criminals, not parents. All of those moms showing up and dads who are crying and sobbing And the women who are nursing their babies, those are not their parents. The woman nursing her baby, that's not her mother. Oh, fuck no. Those are criminals disguised as parents. That's what this fucking evil bastard says. You know where he got that one? He got that one from, what's her name? Who's the long blonde? Yeah, Ann Coulter, who personifies evil, skinny evil, real skinny evil. She's like a fucking skeleton that leaps out of a dark corner at Halloween. But she says the same thing. She says, just like these gun-toting savages that roam the United States and say they're NRA members, just like they say that the kids who suffered in these high school slaughters are just child actors. So Trump heard that fucking bitch Ann Coulter say that about the kids showing up at the border, and he immediately picks up on it because of who he is. So that they're criminals or actors who are toting the children to the southern border. How do you compound evil? Can you compound evil with stupidity? Which precedes the other? Evil precedes stupidity, or stupidity precedes, I don't know. But Trump personifies both. He is a pillar of both. He was at a meeting of the National Space Council today when he made these filthy remarks. He said this, quote, "They could be murderers and thieves and so much else. We want a safe country, and it starts with the borders, and that's the way it is," end quote. That's the way it is? Yeah, that's true. As long as the American Fascist Party continues to do exactly, and the Christians, well, they're the same, continues to allow this son of a bitch to do whatever he wants. And they're not going to stop. There's not a decent human being holding office in the Republican Party. None of them. Oh, and don't talk to me about what's her name from Maine. Every fucking Republican who holds public office is a deceiver, a liar, and probably 90% of them are evil. They could be murderers and thieves. Yeah, can you see a six-year-old, killing somebody or holding up a bank? Trump can. According to the New York Times, for several days, senior members of this fucked up administration, I added the fucked up, some declining to speak on the record, have used blame as a roundabout defense tactic for a policy that has seen nearly 2,000 children taken from their parents in a six-week period and drawn condemnation from a chorus of Democrats and Republicans alike. You know what I say to that? Go fuck yourselves, Democrats and Republicans, all of you. Especially you evil goddamn Republicans. Oh, now that people are getting all upset, now that the videos are hitting social media, now that the photographs are on the front page of New York Times, now, you slovenly sons of bitches, you dirty Christians, now you're going to act as though you're shocked. I tell you, shocked. You mean they're actually taking children away from their parents? You mean there's actually gambling going on in this establishment? The critics of the Trump Sessions policy have included a group of useless Democrats, for example, Bill Clinton, and useless Republicans because they don't have a party to claim anymore. That would include Laura Bush. Melania Trump, weighed in, calling for a country, quote, a country that governs with a heart. Are you fucking kidding me, Melania? You are married to the most evil son of a bitch on earth. It's not the country that's governing. It's your fucking husband. You should know this, Melania. You come from one of the shithole countries that your husband identified. A country that governs with a heart, Melania wants. Okay. I think a lot of Americans would agree with you, Melania. But what you have to do first, what you have to do, Melania, is get rid of your husband. Get him out of office. I know. Tell him you're going to leave him if he doesn't resign the presidency. Never mind. In a series of tweets and speeches today, this miserable son of a bitch, Trump, instead of listening to people who are as close as his own wife, he has relied on fear. Trump understands fear as a motivator. Are you afraid? You know, I'm not afraid of fucking anything political. Nothing. Nothing. Or anything religious. I don't have a goddamn drop of fear in me. So who is he motivating with the fear? Christians? Right-wing neo-fascists of the American Fascist Party? What? Fear, in order to curry favor among the people who are motivated by fear, curry favor to support his zero-tolerance policy that refers for criminal prosecution all immigrants crossing the border without authorization. Without authorization. So the fear comes in when he talks about, ooh, the criminals and gangsters and rapists and drug dealers and people like that. They're coming. They're coming. Gang violence. Trump tweeted, quote, children are being used by some of the worst criminals on earth. Yeah, you, you fucker. You. You are using them. And you are one of the worst criminals on earth. You are a cowardly moral criminal. He tweeted, quote, children be used by some of the worst criminals on earth as a means to enter our country. Those dirty goddamn children, right? Huh? Filthy little fuckers. Burn them! Put them in cages! He added, quote, has anyone been looking at the crime taking place south of the border? How about the crime taking place, you ignorant bastard, north of the border? The crime that you are perpetrating 24/7 every fucking time you inhale and exhale, another crime has been committed. Your inhaling and exhaling is the crime. Has anyone been looking at the crime taking place south of the border? It is historic. He loves that word, doesn't he? With some countries the most dangerous places in the world. Not going to happen in the U.S. Yeah, we're safe here. Unless you're a high school student or a theater goer or someone going out to a restaurant or somebody attending an outdoor concert and on, then you're not so safe, are you, you ignorant bastard? Senior administration members are echoing the fascist president's message. They are equating a rise in border crossings with a rise in crime and suggesting that people who were separated at the border were not families at all. Those are family actors. In a speech at a law enforcement conference in New Orleans today, Kirstjen Nielsen, Secretary of Homeland Security, Kirstjen Nielsen, from Norway maybe, or Sweden. Well, okay, those people are blonde, blue-eyed, and white. I get it. Kirstjen Nielsen piggybacked her immorality, her cowardice, right on the back of Trump's claim. And she said that between October and February, there was a 315% increase in the number of undocumented immigrants, her word, fraudulently using unaccompanied alien children to pose as a family unit in order to enter the United States. Fraudulently posing with alien children. Ooh, fuck. Alien children. She added, this must stop. All this does is put the children at risk. You see how, you know, you're around Trump, working with him or for him for longer than 15 minutes, and you absorb his ability to shift focus away from the truth, dead center on a lie that he's probably made up. Like Kirstjen Nielsen here. Putting children at risk, in Ms. Nielsen's mind, is taking them away from a murderous environment, a crime-saturated environment, a poverty-saturated environment, where the parents know, like maybe your parents would have known, that their kids were going to die. What would your parents have done? What would mine have done? But Kirstjen Nielsen, she says that taking them out of that situation puts children at risk in bringing them to the United States. What the fuck? Talk about a total Orwellian corruption of language. And this blonde woman, Kirstjen Nielsen, why am I talking about her hair color? Because I would think, I don't know why I would think this, maybe because I'm a sexist pig, but I would think that any woman who either has children or has the plumbing to produce children would not say something like, fleeing with your child from death and destruction puts your child at risk. And any self-respecting woman that a woman I can conjure, and again, it's probably my sexist attitude, any self-respecting woman I can conjure in a government position in this filthy goddamn government would fucking resign loudly and clearly as to why she was resigning. The large percentage, 315% increase in the number of undocumented immigrants fraudulently using unaccompanied alien children to pose as a family. Okay, that's the claim. According to the Times, the large percentage that she's citing refers to a sliver of overall data. During the time frame, there were 191 cases of fraudulent families or fraudulent during the time frame she's talking about, between October, November, December, January, February, there were 191 cases of fraudulent family claims reported, which is up from 46 cases for all of 2017, when more than 300,000 crossings or attempted crossings were recorded, 300,000. And there were 45 cases of fraud. It's still, Miss Nielsen, who on one of the Sunday talk shows, I don't know which one, insisted that the Trump criminals did not actually have a policy of separating families. Oh, we don't. Well, I don't know. Nielsen said, quote, "We do not have the luxury of pretending that all individuals coming to this country as a family unit are in fact a family." She said, "This administration has a simple message. If you cross the border illegally, we will prosecute you." What do you want to bet Krista Nielsen is a Christian? Probably, what are the Norwegians? They're Lutherans, aren't they? A lot of them are Lutheran. What do you want to bet that Kirsten Nielsen is a Christian? I'd be willing to bet on that. A Christian woman. Of course, if she is a Christian, Kirsten knows that the only reason death exists, according to the Christians, is because of that bitch Eve. God told her, don't eat from this plant. Don't eat this fruit. No, 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 no. And what did she do? She went over and did it anyway. And as a result, God, being the prick that he is, said, I'm sending death. And he did. To the Christians. All of which is horseshit. But I'm sure Kristen Nielsen believes it if she's a Christian. Now, at the same conference where Miss Norway was talking, the former Klansman and full-time goblin, Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III, was one of the most vocal defenders of this sick policy. And the goblin said that Americans would have to decide whether to be, quote, a country of laws or whether we want to be a country without borders, end quote. You talk about an idiotic choice, a false dichotomy. There's no whatever you want to call it. You want to be a country of laws or whether we want to be a country without borders. What the fuck does that mean? Do you want to eat an orange or do you want to fall off a ladder on the top of the Empire State Building? Which one do you want? Do you want to take a train or do you want a puppy? But this is what members of the Trump gangster group do. That's how they talk. Sessions added, why wouldn't you bring children with you if you know you'll be released and not prosecuted? Why would you? Because you know you'll be released and not prosecuted. We're going to fucking prosecute you and snatch your children. Because I'm a Christian and a Klansman and a goblin. But what the fuck? We're going to take your kids. In another one of his tweets, the wannabe dictator of America, Trump, looked to Germany, one of our closest allies. All that shit in World War II has been forgiven, you know. He looked to Germany to warn the American public about what might happen if the policy, Trump's policy, the goblin's policy, was relaxed. He falsely claimed, that's all he does, all this fucker does is lie. He claims that crime in Germany is on the rise, and in France, and in Belgium. And let me see, what other countries are in Europe? Oh, yeah, Bolivia, it's on the rise. They're in it, yeah. And Afghanistan, Pakistan, Bama. Ignorant son of a bitch. Trump wrote, more lies, quote, the people of Germany are turning against their leadership as migration is rocking the already tenuous Berlin coalition. Crime in Germany is way up. Big mistake made all over Europe in allowing millions of people who have so strongly and violently changed their culture. French culture's been changed by all the immigrants from North Africa? I wonder if the French know that. Everything that I've read regarding that says that French culture is being expanded. Oh, but what do I know? Now, it's true that Angela Merkel is facing political problems in Germany, stirred up by the very same fascist pieces of filth like Trump in this country. These pieces of filth are all over the place, every country. They're in Pakistan. They blow up people coming out of Friday services at a mosque. Afghanistan, they blow up schools with children inside. I mean, Israel, where they bomb indiscriminately civilians who are protesting their occupation after 70 fucking years. Yeah, I mean, this shit happens all over the place. By the way, crime in Germany is at its lowest point since 1992. But that's a fact. And facts to Trump are like fucking fleas. If facts get on him, be like fleas getting on him. He can't stand that. So he stays away from facts. So there he was today. This great leader of ours. Over the weekend, by the way, Trump spoke with Viktor Orban, the Hungarian fascist, who shares Trump's anti-immigration rhetoric and his connection between people seeking asylum and unmitigated violence. Let's take a break, Kathy. I'll be back momentarily. Stick around, okay? We have miles to go here before we sleep.
You said, us are like in the USA, and all I did was complain. Said, living here is paradise. He taught me paradise is in your mind. You know that there's hope. It doesn't cost a thing to smile. You don't have to pay to laugh. You better thank God for that. There's hope.
All right, sponsors for tonight. And thank you very much. We have 4 sponsors for tonight. Let's see. The first one is from Laureen Christ. Laureen Christ. No. Bruce Christ. The sponsorship is in honor of his wife, Laureen, whose birthday was, what, Saturday? Saturday. And his message is, hit him again, man. Thank you, Bruce, and happy birthday, Laureen. Cool. Bruce and Laureen Christ. David Rohr writes, have I told you lately how much I hate those people? Keep the fires lit. Yeah, I used to say that over and over at night, during the Bush years, I guess, right? Yeah, it was during the Bush years. Glenn Beard, also sponsoring his message, keep it lit, Mike. Glenn from the UK, but now living in the Netherlands. Thank you, Glenn. Remember, he called a couple times, didn't he? Several years ago, he called from, I think, the Netherlands, maybe UK. Thanks, Glenn. And then this, and I want you to listen up. I went to this guy's website, and you got to go there and just check it out. This is from Brian Florian. He writes, hi, Truth Seekers. I'm a very longtime listener to the Mike Malloy Show. I'm a songwriter, musician, and I've written an original song inspired by the horrific circumstance in which we find ourselves. The song is called Get Him Out. In the 1960s, the peace movement was largely accompanied by the music of that era. But in our age, there isn't so much of that. Yeah, I've noticed that too. Jesus. So, Brian goes on, I'm attempting to try and change all of that. Please go to my website, to listen and share. If you would like to download the song and make a donation, please copy the Bandcamp URL above the song, and it will take you there. I'm still a novice at social media stuff, but I'm using hashtags to hashtag get him out and hashtag get him out now to hopefully spread on Twitter. Let's get him out. All right, here's the website, and as soon as you get there, it's very pretty graphic. They hit you right away. But it's SW, the letters SW, Even Songs. You know, like evening song, Even Songs. SW Even Songs, EvenSongs. SWEvensongs.com. Okay? Please do that. please go and see what Brian's talking about. Let me give it to you again. SW Even Songs. It's all one word. SWEvensongs.com. SWEvensongs.com. Thank you, David. Thanks to everybody for the sponsorships tonight. All right, I think it's time for a moment with Bob. What do you think? Huh? Yeah, I've got another one. Bob is trying to stop. Another moment with Bob brought to you by your friends at Offshore Drilling. Tonight's moment is entitled Descent. Uh-oh. Hey, Mike. The last article I read last night before I turned the computer off was headlined, "The Trump Administration is Going After Naturalized Citizens Now." And part of the article read as follows. Donald Trump's administration is not only busy tearing children away from their parents at the border, they're also going to start focusing on fresh new ways to oppress naturalized citizens in America. On Tuesday, the Associated Press reported that U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, the government agency that oversees immigration applications, is now creating a new office staffed by several dozen employees. It will be dedicated to looking for people who may have cheated to obtain their citizenship and stripping them of it. Think of it as terrorization by paperwork. End quote. Bob continues, I turned the computer off and went through the house checking to see if all the lights had been turned off and the bird's cage had been covered. Then I went into our bedroom. My wife had not yet gone to sleep. I told her the only person in her family that was a native-born American citizen was her youngest brother. Everyone else, her parents, the rest of her siblings, and herself, my wife, are naturalized citizens. She asked me what made me bring that up, and I told her that I had just read, or what I had just read. She said they weren't looking for Filipinos who had come into the country over 40 years ago. They were probably just looking at people who had come from Mexico, Central and South America, and the Middle East. Because I look at things through a slightly different lens, I said, yeah, for now. She turned off the light, and I turned on my Kindle. It's a backlit model, so I can read without disturbing her. About a half hour later, I decided that was enough reading for the night and turned the Kindle off. A few minutes later, I turned it back on, and in its faint light wrote one word on the notepad I keep by my nightstand. Descent. D-E-S-C-E-N-T. Descent. Now it's morning. My wife and son are off to work and school, and I can follow where that one word leads, descent. The short conversation my wife and I had the previous night must have taken place countless times during and throughout Nazi-controlled Europe. They're looking for someone else. They will come for someone else. And that, at that exact moment, it is absolutely true. On the continuum of fascism, at that moment, they're looking for someone else. They will be coming for someone else. But the simple fact is that eventually they will be looking at everyone. They will be coming for anyone. That's how that aspect of fascism works. Eventually, anyone can be a suspect. To paraphrase Arlo Guthrie, I can tell Nazi ghost stories all day long. I'm not proud or tired. But I'm beginning to understand these aren't Nazi ghost stories anymore. One by one, these haunted Halloween tales turn up in the New York Times. There are monsters in America, and they're tearing families apart. Regardless of how much terror and anguish they cause by ripping children away from their parents, the monsters continue to follow their fucking orders and do their fucking jobs. They're building a fucking concentration camp in Texas for children. And now the monsters turn their baleful gaze toward naturalized American citizens. 80 years ago, the questions the monsters asked would determine how much Jewish blood flowed in the veins of the people they ruled. One drop made someone suspect, and a suspect could be a threat, and threats to the homeland must be controlled or eliminated. The safety and security of the homeland depended on it. Sooner rather than later, the monsters will broaden their focus and begin to gauge how American some people might be, regardless of their native-born status. Buckle the Clown said about football players who kneel on the field in protest, quote, "You have to stand proudly for the national anthem or you shouldn't be playing. You shouldn't be there. Maybe you shouldn't be in the country," end quote. In the movies, it was Kevin McCarthy's character, Dr. Miles Bennell, from Invasion of the Body Snatchers, running up to one car, from one car to the next on the highway, screaming to the drivers, "They're here! They're here already! You're next! You're next!" On television, it was the mob of neighbors turning on one another in the Twilight Zone episode, "The Monsters Are Due on Main Street." But we've passed through Rod Serling's middle ground between light and shadow into the real world. There are monsters in the streets of America. They're not like Nazis. They are Nazis. Sinclair Lewis wrote, "It can't happen here," but it not only did, it is happening right now. And we can stop using analogies. Torture is not used to get information from the poor wretch being waterboarded. Torture is used to terrorize the rest of the subjugated population into compliance. The people know that it is possible they could be next, so they do whatever they can to live under the radar of the monsters. Every single mother and father can imagine the inconceivable pain and anguish of having their children taken from them. Thousands of parents know it much worse because some thuggish ICE Nazi took their child. They don't have to imagine hell because they are living it. From therap.com, conservative commentator Ann Coulter proposed a novel solution for illegal immigration, suggesting that U.S. border guards might solve the problem and send a message to others by shooting a migrant trying to cross into the United States. She said, quote, "I mean, unless you're going to shoot one and send a message to the rest, if you shoot one to encourage the others, maybe they'll learn. But otherwise, we'll see. We'll see." End quote. Coulter analogized her position to the Voltaire line from Candida, quote, "We hang one to encourage the others." End quote. Ann Coulter's DNA test might prove she's a human being, but regardless, she does brilliantly, illustrating this moment in the continuum of fascism. The current government of the United States, run by the donor class behind the mask of Fucko the Clown, has taken the penultimate step toward barbarity. The only thing left for them to do is to commence killing. We've been living in Canada for almost 7 years. In the pit of the night, when I'm awake and everything is true in the dark, I wonder if the relief we felt when we moved across the border was similar to what a Jewish family might have felt fleeing Germany to the safety of Austria in 1935. And in the pit of the night, I think about monsters and the question I would ask them if I had the courage. From the short story, Fantasy Room, by Adam Troy Castro, quote, I would ask you what it is like to stand in absolute darkness with no stars above you and no cold capable of bothering you, and not suffer the uncertainty that comes from feeling the presence of monsters, to know instead that you are the greatest of monsters, and that the shadows hide nothing more dangerous than yourself. End quote. But that's like asking a psychopath what it's like to be a psychopath. The answer wouldn't explain anything. To understand it, I'd have to be in telepathic contact with a lunatic. Then I could see that ripping families apart and putting kids in concentration camps is no different from anything else that monsters do every day of their lives. Rod Serling cautioned all non-monsters about how easy it can be to allow and accept everything that can happen when we lose our humanity. Quote, the tools of conquest do not necessarily come with bombs and explosions and fallout. There are weapons that are simply thoughts, attitudes, prejudices to be found only in the minds of men. For the record, prejudices can kill, and suspicion can destroy, and a thoughtless, frightened search for a scapegoat has a fallout all of its own for the children and the children yet unborn. And the pity of it is that these things cannot be confined to the Twilight Zone. End quote. Regards, Bob. And may I remind you that Bob's website is Voices in Our Heads, plural, voicesinourheads.com. Tonight's Moment with Bob, brought to you by your friends at Offshore Drilling. Oy. Talk about writing books. I wish he would write a book. I've been suggesting that to him for 15 years. Oh, and the one that you supported with your Kickstarter contribution is coming along. I may be on the second to last chapter. However, the second to last chapter is probably going to be about 10,000 words, and I've only written just under 1,000. And the last chapter is probably going to be 10,000 words. I am trying to get this done before Kathy and Molly and I go to a wedding to which we've been invited, my godson, in the Catskills in New York State. We've never been there. Should be fun. It's appropriate setting. My godson is Jewish, and his wife is, Kathy, do you know? I think his wife is Protestant, I think.
They're Scandinavian.
She is Scandinavian, yeah. We met her at, they had an engagement party or whatever you call it a couple of weekends ago here in Atlanta. But her folks live in upstate New York. So I'm trying to get the book done before we leave, and that's right around the first part of August. So you see how much time I have left. I want to mention the sponsors again. First, Bruce Christ. And it's for his wife, Loreen Christ, whose birthday was Saturday. And his message hit him again, man. Very truly yours, Bruce Christ. Thank you, Bruce. Also, David Rohr, who writes, "Have I told you lately how much I hate those people? Keep the fires lit." Thanks, David. Glenn Beard. "Keep it lit, Mike." Glenn from the UK, now living in the Netherlands. Thanks, Glenn. And then from Brian Florian. And again, I want you to go to his website. I'll give it the web address in a second. But go check it out. And Brian writes, "Hi, Truth Seekers. I'm a very long-time listener to The Mike Malloy Show. I'm a songwriter, musician, and I've written an original song inspired by the horrific circumstance in which we find ourselves. The song is called Get Him Out. In the 1960s, the peace movement was largely accompanied by the music of that era, but in our age, there isn't so much of that. So I'm attempting to try to change all of that. Please go to my website to listen and share. If you would like to download the song and make a donation, please copy the Bandcamp URL above the song, and it will take you there. I'm still a novice at social media stuff, but I'm using hashtags. Hashtag get him out and hashtag get him out now. Hopefully, to spread on Twitter, let's get him out." Here's a website. This is all one word, SW Even Songs, SW Even Songs, all one word, SWEvensongs.com, SWEvensongs.com, okay? Thank you. And thanks to our four sponsors for tonight. Very much appreciated. Okay. Can you do a little break for me here, Kathy? Remember the big show of what a great and decisive leader he was capable of being when back in April, the evil son of a bitch in the White House decided to send 2,000 National Guard troops to the U.S.-Mexican border? Yeah, they were going to go down there with their guns and tanks and airplanes and battleships and rockets and nuclear bombs and all kinds of shit. You know, it's the National fucking Guard, man. They're fully armed, right, with bad kinds of guns and shit. And they were going down there, according to Trump, to stop this influx of six-year-old criminals who were coming across with their phony parents, right? Well, guess what the National Guard soldiers have been doing? Well, you and I have been focused on Trump and Sessions' murderous, evil shit that they're perpetrating against people who are seeking asylum. Guess what the National Guard troops are doing? Well, among other things, they have been feeding the horses that belong to the Border Patrol and shoveling the shit out of their stalls. You ever shoveled shit out of a horse stall? If you haven't, you don't know what ammonia smells like. I spent a couple summers when I was a kid teaching Western-style horseback riding to campers at the YMCA camp that I went to for 10 years. And when I say teaching Western-style horseback riding, it was very simple. You just taught the kids not to be terrified of these great big animals on whose backs they were going to ride. And you also taught them the proper care of the saddles and bridles and the saddle blanket and how to wash the horse down in the evening and spray them with insect repellent before you turned them loose. And in the mornings, we would take a certain group of kids over and we would round up the horses. They were allowed to run free on about a 200-acre farm orchard combination. So we would saddle up a couple of the more gullible horses. We would put oats in the bottom of a pan, metal pan, and shake it. And a couple of the horses were dumb enough to come over. And we'd grab them, put a rope halter on them, and then go get the rest of the horses. The kids would wait back at the corral. When we got the horses back, we showed them how to apply blue ointment onto their saddle sores, how to ease the pain of some of these horses, and how to decide which ones would not be taking campers out on their backs that day because the saddle sores were open and running. And that's not a very pleasant thing to see. But we also taught them, imagine what the horse felt, we also taught them the necessity of cleaning out the horse's stall every morning. And the reason, well, I'm sorry, excuse me, every evening. And the kids that we taught how to shovel shit with a pitchfork and a wheelbarrow, they didn't understand what that had to do with learning how to ride horses. Of course, we had to explain to them, if you have a car when you grow up, you're going to get the oil changed and a lube job, right? If you do this or that, there's maintenance. Well, horse, the same thing. And shoveling shit is part of it. So now Trump has his National Guard. I don't know what state they're from. Texas? I don't know. But they're shoveling shit out of horse stalls. That's something for campers at a YMCA camp to do, not National Guard troops. Don't you agree? And then one of the members of the National Guard, who is a cook, told Politico that he often does maintenance on Border Patrol's vehicles. The sergeant said, quote, "We fix flats." Sounds like a sign that you would see as you're driving through a section of town where you take your car to have oil change, or "we fix flats." Other tasks assigned to the National Guard, sent there by Donald J. Trump, other tasks include clearing out vegetation, which is, I guess, a euphemism for weed whacking. You know, getting out there with weed eaters or maybe machetes and cutting through, you know, like George Bush used to do at his ranch down in Texas, wherever the hell it was. You remember that, right? Also, their jobs include repairing Border Patrol facilities. That means the toilets and the showers and the basins. If there's a leak, fix it. If there's a stopped-up toilet, unstop it up, soldier. Working as office clerks or operating a complex network of security and remote camera systems. This is how Trump uses the National Guard. Now, if you remember, Trump signed an executive memorandum in April directing Defense Secretary James Mattis to bolster the Department of Homeland Security's effort to combat, quote, a drastic surge of illegal activity on the southern border, end quote. So shoveling horse shit and unplugging toilets and changing flats. In Trump world or Trump language, that's protecting the southern border from this influx of 8-year-old terrorists. This, you know, If all of Trump was set to music, it would be a Danny Elfland, who would write the musical score. The one who did The Nightmare Before Christmas and several more. This is like a terrible bad dream, isn't it? You're a National Guard officer or enlisted man or woman. They're there to serve your country. I forget what the National Guard is for anymore. I think that was what was mentioned in the Second Amendment. A well-regulated militia. But the National Guard, I remember the first time I became aware, and this is due to my ignorance, I guess, the first time I became aware that the National Guard could be federalized and sent to fucking Vietnam. I didn't know that. I thought the National Guard was the National Guard. I knew reserve units could be sent to a theater of war, but National Guard? Somebody that signed on to do 2 weeks in the summer and meetings once a month and patrol the streets when the colored folk got out of hand. I didn't know that that National Guard could be sent to kill people in Vietnam or be killed. Anyway, here they are on the southern border shoveling shit. In May, remember Trump signed this memorandum in April. In May, the Pentagon approved an additional request from the Department of Homeland Security to send another 700 National Guard troops to assist the Border Patrol. They joined the 1,100 members already stationed along the southern border who also were doing things like shoveling shit. General Mattis, or Defense Secretary Mattis, then approved as many as 4,000 troops to be deployed to the border, none of which are armed. Why? I thought Trump made a big deal about saying he was going to send National Guard troops to protect us because there are all sorts of criminals and evil fuckers and monsters coming up from, you know, down there. What are our National Guard troops going to do? Tackle them? Karate chop them? Are they going to take a 9-year-old kid and boom to the back of her neck? They're unarmed, which is probably a good thing. General Mattis, I'm sure, was thinking way ahead. According to Politico, the troops are kept at a safer distance than previous troops. Safer distance from what? Maybe the border? I don't know. And then it says National Guard troops are not permitted to patrol or participate in detainment operations for migrants crossing the border in order to keep them safe. Well, why are they? Oh, that's right. To shovel horseshit. Wouldn't it be nice to maybe work in agreement with the president, El Presidente de Mexico, to maybe, I know this is bullshit, but let me just say it anyway, to maybe agree that in the Sonoran Desert and some of those places that butt up against the Mexico-U.S. border, the places where people die, the places where the coyotes, the smugglers from Mexico, extort people coming from not just Mexico, but all over Central America to take them across the American border, American-Mexican border, and then leave them. You've seen the pictures of how desolate that country is. But is there any way to work out something with the Mexican government where a nice humanitarian Donald Trump could say, okay, look, we have a problem here, and we're going to have to try to solve it. But in the meantime, let us send unarmed, although we won't tell anybody, unarmed National Guard troops into your country, El Presidente, for the purpose of escorting these refugees who are not Mexican. They're Honduran, Guatemalan, Salvadoran, Nicaraguan. We will escort them so that the coyotes and the gangsters and the dope smugglers can't get to them. You think that's possible? Not now, it isn't possible, but maybe in a different time with a different leadership, maybe that could be worked out. Nah, never mind. Late last month, the president of the labor union that represents Border Patrol agents criticized Trump's sending all these soldiers to the border area. The president of the labor union representing the Border Patrol agents said that was all a, quote, colossal waste of resources, end quote. Of course, Trump doesn't give a shit about anything like that. When Trump orders, it better be carried out. That's the way dictators work. His name is Brandon Judd. He's the president of the National Border Guard Council. And he said last month that everybody down there on the southern border have, quote, seen no benefit, end quote, from the National Guard presence. Of course not. The National Guard are shoveling horseshit and changing tires and fixing stopped-up toilets and policing the barracks. You know what that means, you know, picking shit up off the ground. But remember the way Trump presented it. Whoa, yes, I'm sending troops to the American-Mexican border to stop the influx of criminals and drug dealers and rapists and murderers and killers and people who will come to this country and fucking jaywalk deliberately. And I'm sending the National Guard. And according to the Border Patrol, the presence of these soldiers has resulted in nothing. But to Trump's beloved base, they don't know anything about that. All they know is that their great leader, Donald Trump, fixed the border problem by sending the goddamn army down there. Did you hear about that? Yeah, he sent the army. Yeah, that's why I like a strong leader. Yeah, me too. He sent the army to shovel shit. You may have seen this. When Trump was at the G7 summit in Canada, embarrassing the United States and showing the depth of his stupidity and ignorance and arrogance, and also demonstrating how much he hates leaders of democratic governments but loves leaders of fascist dictators, of fascist dictating. What am I trying to say? He loves the fascist dictators who run countries with not even a nod towards democratic representation. Well, one of the things he said to this is so fucking embarrassing. You know, I blush when I tell the story. It is so fucking embarrassing. He told the leaders of the G7, they were talking about Russia's annexation of Crimea and how that was against, you know, international law. Oh, who the fuck cares, right? So in the course of that conversation, Trump informed the other G7 leaders that, well, wait. Crimea is Russian. What, Mr. Trump? Yeah, it's Russian. You know why? Why? Because everyone who lives there speaks Russian. Well, this must be fucking England then, right? Is that where we're in England? I'm sorry to the British government, but fuck it, man. We speak English here. This must be England, according to our brilliant, illustrious leader. Now, it used to be called the G8. I don't know about these capitalist organizations, these people that get together to decide how to control and exploit resources on a global basis. I don't know. Maybe they do some good. I give up trying to understand it anymore. I really do. But if you remember, it used to be the G8, and then Russia, which was a member of this organization, invaded and then annexed Crimea. They took it from Ukraine in 2014, which led to widespread international condemnation, just like we got when George W. Bush and Dick Cheney ordered us to go to Iraq and murder 2 million people and sacrifice 9,000 of our own soldiers in order to do two things. Get that oil out of Saddam's hands and into someone else's, and send a message to the Arab world that we are capable of shock and awe. Remember that? And the way we showed it, we bombed one of the oldest cultures on earth back to the Stone Age. We destroyed its government, its military, its police force, its postal system, its university system, its medical delivery system. We destroyed everything. But that's what we're good at, God damn it. That's what we're good at. So the members of the G8, the other G7, condemned Russia for invading Ukraine and annexing Crimea. And that led to Russia being kicked out of the G8, and Russian president and Trump's idol, Vladimir Putin, defended Russia's intervention of Crimea at the time by saying that he had the right to protect Russian citizens and people who spoke Russian in Ukraine. Why? That sounds fairly similar to what Trump said to the G7 members. I wonder where Trump got it. And during the dinner where Trump made this half-assed, insane, fucking ignorant statement, during that dinner, Trump, according to officials who were there, Trump seemed to question why the G7 leaders were siding with Ukraine on this issue. Trump told the other leaders, quote, "Ukraine is one of the most corrupt countries in the world." No, I thought that was Mexico. No, wait a minute. Isn't that France? No, it's Canada. No, it's Korea. No, not anymore. North Korea? China. One of the... So when Trump Friday a week ago, when he left his domicile to go to the G7, that's when he told reporters that Russia should be readmitted to the G7. On the second day of the summit, the day Trump left, I believe, he again called for Russia to rejoin the group. And Trump said at the time, quote, "This used to be the G8, not the G7. Something happened a while ago where Russia is no longer in." Something happened a while ago so that Russia is no longer in. And then, of course, Trump blamed Barack Obama for what happened in Ukraine. Trump said to these other leaders, I mean, to these leaders, Trump's not a leader, but he said to these leaders, "Obama can say all he wants, but he allowed Russia to take Crimea." You ignorant piece of filth. What did you want Obama to do? Did you want another Cuban Missile Crisis, so to speak? Or should Obama just have unleashed nuclear missiles targeting, you know, a bunch of Russian cities to make the point? The rest of the world told Dick Cheney not to invade Iraq. Big fucking deal. And some of the countries who told us not to do that are armed with nuclear bombs. But see, when you're a bully, in the case of Russia, you got to be a bully in your neighborhood. In the case of the United States, you can be a fucking global bully. But when you're a bully, you don't pay any attention to somebody. Hey, come on, man, you shouldn't do that. Eh, fuck you, I'm going to do it anyway. It just gets curiouser and curiouser, doesn't it? Curiouser and curiouser. And then the snotty, belligerent, ugly, ignorant Trump comments made by Trump where it concerned Justin Trudeau, the Canadian leader who hosted the meeting. Trump goes into Trudeau's house, shits on the carpet, leaves, and when he's on his jet, he says, "You know, Trudeau's house smelled like shit." Yeah. Yeah, it did. When you were there. The Daily Beast online commissioned an Ipsos survey poll, Ipsos polling agency. So they did their poll, and guess what they found? They polled Republicans. This will show you, if you need to be shown, the power of the insane rhetoric that a Goebbels or Himmler or Hitler or Stalin or Trump can have on the people who still believe that that person speaking, in this case Donald Trump, is their dear leader. This will give you an example. The Ipsos survey found that among Republicans, 19% indicated they have a favorable opinion of the brutal, murderous dictator Kim Jong-un. What's his last name? Kim. That's his last name. Is Kim Jong-un. 17% said they have a favorable opinion of Pelosi. 19% have a good opinion of Kim. 17% have a good opinion of Pelosi. 68% of Republicans said they had an unfavorable opinion of Kim. But 72% said they had an unfavorable view of Nancy Pelosi. Do you get this? No matter how you look at the survey, what Donald Trump's base is saying is that they have more respect or a better opinion of a murderous dictator who executes children, adults, doesn't matter who, his relatives. And his favorite style of execution is a bullet in the head, but his second favorite style is to blow them into red mist and bone chunks with a fucking anti-aircraft cannon. You seen that video? It's out there. It's real. Where one of Kim's victims is tied to a post. And there's an anti-aircraft cannon maybe 100 yards away, about a football field away. And then, boom, splat. I've never seen anything like that. And I don't want to ever again. But Republicans favor that man over a woman who has been a member of Congress for a long time and who is former Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives. And let me tell you something, it doesn't make any difference what your political opinion of Nancy Pelosi is. I don't have, I'm very conflicted, but presently, I don't have any big positive opinion of Nancy Pelosi either. I've said it's time for new leadership. Get some of the dinosaurs to go away. But do you think there's any way to compare Nancy Pelosi with a 30-something murderer who does things to his own people that are truly, really unspeakable. But the power of the propaganda put out there by the Fox sewer and the Pig Limbaugh and the Piglet, everybody else on or everybody on the Fox sewer, that propaganda. Well, remember what Hitler said. You know, you lie. You tell the same lie. Or was it Himmler? Tell the same lie over and over. Make it a big lie. Keep repeating it until finally the ignorant fuckers believe it. A spokesman for Pelosi, a guy named Drew Hamill, wrote in an email to The Hill responding to this poll that was conducted by the Daily Beast. Drew Hamill wrote, quote, on a daily basis, President Trump praises this dictator and thug. So it only makes sense that his party is following his lead like lemmings over a cliff. The spokesman for Nancy Pelosi also pointed to another aspect of the poll that showed Senate minority or majority leader Mitch McConnell's unfavorable rating. And Pelosi's spokesman said, quote, according to those numbers, he's the most unpopular politician in the country. The poll found that only 20% of all respondents have a favorable opinion of Mitch McConnell. These are Republicans. Now, why is that? What has Mitch McConnell done that would offend Republicans? Nothing. As a matter of fact, Mitch made his bones interfering with the constitutional responsibility and duty of the President of the United States, Barack Obama, where it concerned nominating and then providing a hearing by the Senate for a Supreme Court nominee. I mean, that was a gift to the religious fuckwads in this country who just knew that if they got somebody like Gorsuch in there, why, that would make it even more difficult for the Negroes to get equal treatment and the women to have their goddamn abortions. What did McConnell do that was so wrong? Well, for Republicans, he didn't do anything that was so wrong. Ah, but for the fascists, see, McConnell doesn't quite qualify as a fascist. He's a right-wing Republican. There's still a few of these dinosaurs left, too. But that's why he has a 20% favorable rate among so-called Republicans. We're not Republicans anymore. They're members of the American Fascist Party. They look at McConnell, and they think, I guess, about him what a lot of Democrats feel about Pelosi. Eh. Time to go. Oh, by the way, I wanted to ask, everybody's sleeping soundly now? Because as Donald Trump said, we could all sleep soundly now because any chance of a nuclear fuck-up with North Korea is gone. It's over. It's gone. Kathy, how about one more break? If you got something there, I'll be right back. Let me thank my sponsors for tonight's program one more time, starting with Bruce Christ. Thank you, Bruce. His wife, Laureen, had a birthday on Saturday. Happy birthday, Laureen. And Bruce's message hit him again, man. Harder, harder. Thank you, Bruce. Glenn Beard is sponsoring tonight, too. And his message is, keep it lit, Mike. Glenn, from the UK, but now living in the Netherlands. Thanks, Glenn. David Rohr is also a sponsor tonight. Thank you, David. His message, have I told you lately how much I hate those people? Keep the fires lit. Thanks, David. And then Brian Florian. Hi, Truth Seekers. I'm a very longtime listener to the Mike Malloy Show. I'm a songwriter, musician, and I've written an original song inspired by the horrific circumstances in which we find ourselves. The song is called Get Him Out. I read who Brian's talking about. In the 1960s, the peace movement was largely accompanied by the music of that era, but in our age, there isn't so much of that. So I'm attempting to try to change all of that. Please go to my website to listen and share. If you would like to download the song and make a donation, please copy the band camp URL above the song, and it will take you there. I'm still a novice at social media stuff, but I'm using hashtags now. Hashtag get him out and hashtag get him out now, hopefully to spread on Twitter. Let's get him out. And the website that Brian's talking about, and I've been there, you really should go. I know you will. The website is SW. Even Songs, right? SW Even Songs, all one word. SW Even Songs.com. Okay? SW Even Songs.com. And thank you, Brian. I saw this headline at Huffington Post, and I wasn't sure. It took me a minute to realize what this was about. The headline said, summer vacation shouldn't mean going hungry. What? You know, that will, if you're not prepared for it, that will set you back for a moment till you realize what the headline means. The reality is, here in the greatest economy ever, where we have, what do we have now? 150 billionaires, or is it 350 billionaires? I mean, we have millionaires coming out the ass. We have billionaires about to come out the ass. We have, I mean, good God, this is, but at the same time, tens of millions of U.S. children rely on assistance to eat lunch for 9 months out of the year, you know, when school's in session. Tens of millions. So for a lot of these American children, our little brothers and sisters, summer vacation means sunshine, hot days, freedom from homework, and early bedtimes. But for millions of others, also our little brothers and sisters, little children and their families, summer also brings fear. That's a staple of the American diet right now. The fear among these children and their parents is how are they going to eat during those 3 months? It's that bad. It's that bad here. Here's a number that shocked me. More than 30 million children, 30 million children, that's about 54% of American school kids, pre-K through grade 12. 30 million children, 54% of our kids in school receive free or reduced price lunches at more than 100,000 schools and child care centers. That just seems impossible. 30 million? 54% of the school-age population in this country? 54%? The majority of our children rely on free lunches or lunches where the cost is borne in part by the Board of Education, 54% of them? Yeah. Yeah. U.S. Department of Agriculture program, that's who runs it, provides free lunches for those whose family incomes are at or below 130% of the poverty level. And reduced price lunches for kids whose family income is between 130% of the poverty level and 185% of the poverty level. And many of the same students out of these 30 million also participate in free or reduced price breakfast programs. Now, the Christians would like to end this fucking nonsense real quick. You don't go to school to eat, goddammit. You go to school to learn. The theory of some of these Christians is very simple. A hungry kid is an alert kid. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? I think it comes through. In other words, as this article in Huffington Post states, we live in a nation where tens of millions of children rely on government assistance to eat lunch for 9 months of the year. And here's a real harsh reality. Those kids don't disappear when the last bell rings in May or June, whenever school gets out. Here in the area where we live, school is out the middle of May. So those kids, but it goes back the middle of August. So it's still just 3 months. Low-income parents, as you can guess, often struggle to feed their kids during the summer. Families who rely on SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program benefits, don't get extra money just because school is out. But this is a Christian nation, goddammit. This is, ask any of these evangelicals. They'll tell you before you get the whole fucking sentence out. Is the United States a Christian? Yes! Well, then why do we have our own children going hungry and kids trying to get here as refugees being jailed? What the fuck is going on? One word. It's hyphenated. Trump world. That's what's going on. I'll see you next time. In the meantime, take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.